Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the FOI working group meeting. Thank you, Patricia. Do we have a quorum? I believe we do have a quorum. That's left to the chair to determine.
I was just saying, if Keith says so, we have a quorum.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
So the first item on the agenda is present and apologies. And Christina, can you let us know who has apologised and who is on the Adobe Connect room and here?
I would prefer it if you would introduce yourself in the room, if that's okay. And we don't have anybody in the room who is not in the Adobe room that's not present in this room, and we have apologies for Cheryl and Ganor. Cheryl.
Cheryl Langdonor, okay. Okay, and for the record, I'm Keith Davidson, I'm chair of this working group. And we'll start from my left and work our way around the table.
I'm Daniel Kalchev from .bg.
Davis Buxton from .bi.
Nigel Roberts from .gg. I apologise for my presence.
I'm Elisa.na and I don't apologise.
Stephen Derrick, American Samoa.
Dark Turcotte, staff support.
Patricio Poblete, .cl.
Martin Boyle, .uk.
Kim Davies, IATA functionary.
I'm Christina Nostrom, CCNSO, and I would like to remind everybody to state your names before you speak. Thank you.
Thanks, Christina. And behind us in the room there is Gabby and Bart, for the record. Approval of the agenda. The agenda's been on the list for at least 2 weeks, I think, so more time than usual. I didn't see anything on the list for any suggested changes. Is everybody happy that we proceed on that basis? I'm taking silence as assent. So we'll move to item 3 on the agenda, which is the approval of the meeting report of 6th March. Bernie, is there anything on that meeting report that doesn't otherwise come up on the agenda? Is everyone happy with the meeting report?
Fairly straightforward.
Taking silence as agreement. So the meeting report of the 6th of March is approved. Moving on to item 4, the GAC update. For those, was everyone in the GAC room for the joint session? I think the GAC have come some ways to agreeing with the framework, except for the unresolved points that remain. What we've offered to do and what we will do is have a brief discussion between Bernie, Becky and I with Suzanne, Peter Nettlefold from Australia and Frank and try and resolve anything that remains unresolved at this stage. We are going to deliver them the entire framework of interpretation as a single document with the previous covering note that we had circulated to this group and just say, you know, now is the time for your approval and let's resolve anything that's unresolved. So I think we have a pathway forwards. I think we have quite reasonable clarity and we'll seek further clarity from the GAC about what they have agreed as well so that we can start to work with Kim on actual implementation. In the interim, I think it's in our best interest to get this final stages of implementation advanced as quickly as possible because we want to clear our decks for what is now much more important work going forwards in terms of the US government transition from for the IANA contract. Did you have something, Nigel?
Well, two quick points, very quick. First of all,
your name for the record?
Nigel Roberts. It would be very helpful if we could sort of have a bit of a reminder, not perhaps of what we've agreed with the GAC, but perhaps where there are potential areas for further discussion. That's the first point. Second point is on the implementation. And I've said this before, we're not making new policy that needs to be implemented. This policy, the existing policy, should be, it's already being implemented, and our draft should be informing the IANA's work immediately.
I don't think there's any dispute on that at all. But yeah. And yes, I think the document that we're, you know, the final framework that we send to the GAC obviously should come to our list so that you can review it along the way.
Maybe you could use the word incorporation instead of implementation.
Okay.
KQ, that's not what I was asking. It would be helpful if we revisited or just had a general idea where the flashpoints might be with the GAC. I was being diplomatic.
Well, I think we already know those in terms of the feedback they've provided so far, but remembering that they wanted to see the entire framework before they passed a final kind of judgment. So, yes, but, yeah, the working group will go through the process, sending them the full framework and then saying, these were the things that you had commented on that we haven't fixed yet. Are they still relevant in the context of the whole framework? And is there anything else in terms of the context of the whole framework that would preclude your approval coming into London ICANN? So I think that's a straightforward methodology, isn't it?
It's not the methodology. I'm being a bit dozy. I wanted some reminder. That's all I'm after.
Take a crack at it.
Okay.
Bernard Kirkut, trying to answer Nigel's query. We have three main blocks, which is consent, SIP, and revocation. On consent, they have agreed. There is no issues. On SIP, there was some minor pushback, and we've got the correction that we think will make everyone happy for discussion today. On revocation, we've received no formal comments. The grumblings were about other things. I think they just didn't understand what we were proposing. So, really, I think there was only one point. We listened, and Becky, Bart, and I made a minor adjustment to SIP, which we'll be proposing today for the group's review. And we feel that if we repackage that into a document, we'll send it to the group first, but it will simply be an editing job. There will be no new content. We'll repackage that with Becky's note for the GAC, adjusted accordingly, and that will be the package they're waiting for. They have gotten to a point where they understand there are some things that are not covered by us. They understand they should not be, which is a great leap forward, I think. And the answer, to be interesting, has been, oh, maybe we can work on those things with you, instead of some of the past answers we've got.
So everybody's happy. And it's a shame the GAC aren't in the room today, but I think the GAC are actually meeting on Thursday, which is beyond their normal remit, so maybe they have commitments in room. But I would have considered it a courtesy for them to have apologised since they're personally present here. So can we move on? Is there anything on revocation that we need to cover?
Actually, yes, we need a final approval if we're not making any changes because it was published for public consultation. We had the two replies. We've posted our comments on the two replies. We do not feel there is anything to change versus the reply. The comments we did receive, which is essentially what we said, and as such, given there have been no other comments, we would need simply to to finalize that today, if possible.
Okay. Can we? Is there any dissenting voice from the idea that we are approving the final wording of the revocation document? Everyone's happy? Excellent news. Thank you. So with SIP, you have...
Christina, can we put up SIP or can you give me control so I can put it up? Thank you. Please.
It's not the chairs of the FOI working group on their approval of revocation, that's four-way noise. Thank you. I didn't hear that, Christine.
Her upload's not working. I'll bring it up on my screen and then we can do a share of my screen. Taking a photo.
Upload is in progress.
Okay. I will pull it up.
Just noting for the record that Debbie Monaghan, as an observer, has entered the room. And while we're waiting, shall I do some housekeeping? I think we'll take a break at 10:30 if we haven't finished our work by then. So. It's quick, isn't it? And further for the record, Marina Chibisova has entered the room. She's from coca.cx. We have to wait any longer. People who are listening to the recording will be wondering about the long silence. So who would like to volunteer to sing us a song?
Done.
Yeah.
Touche, Nigel. And you say you're a little groggy, dude.
Open for me, so. Worst comes to worst, we'll end up sharing my screen.
Actually, we should
have said when you don't need us. Oh. Yeah, it would have been
pretty sure we could have retyped it on the screen.
Yeah. Type it into the
Thank you, Eric.
Okay, so Bernie, let's have a look at the changes to SIP.
Thank you, sir. That would be significantly interested parties version 3.5. The version was emailed yesterday afternoon with track changes from the previous version, which was approved. The only change, except for page footings, et cetera, of any magnetic of any importance there we go. Okay, so we'll reduce that just a bit. All right, so I'll read the new version, and I think you'll understand. Applicants should document the support of significantly interested parties for delegation, full stop. IANA may provide an opportunity for SITs and other stakeholders to, comment on the request via a public process where evidence of support is lacking. Full stop. So basically what we had previously is that applicants should be encouraged to provide documentation of the support of stakeholders for the delegation, redelegation.
Whoa, don't run away.
But IANA should also provide an opportunity for stakeholders. So now we've... Yes, that is correct. So that's the change. That's the only change in the document, and that will probably help some of the concerns that have been mentioned from our fellows in the GAC.
Martin Boyle. Just for my memory, which often fails me, could you remind me of what the GAC comment actually was that led to this change?
There was a concern. This was not written. This was in conversations. There was a concern that if the local government did all the homework and did public consultations and this and that and submitted a full package, that even though they had done that, they interpreted this as I am having to run yet another public consultation, and they felt that if it was fine, that it was required that there be proof that there was consultation, but if it's been done, why would it have to be done again? So that's our attempt at solving that.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, so this isn't wording that was agreed at the same discussion. This is you interpreting and then hoping that you've got it right. No, it's just I'm a little bit surprised that it leaves open that IANA can challenge if it thinks the evidence is lacking. And I'm not quite sure whether just sort of giving that, well, you might decide that evidence is lacking. So they might have supplied a full package of information that documents the requirement. And then IANA turns around and says, well, yes, but we think that you haven't done X, Y, Z. And therefore, we're going to go to open consultation. And I was wondering whether that would actually spark the same concerns that the GAC had originally expressed to you in that conversation.
Two points on that. I think Becky and I considered all those options, and as we know, there's a lot of gray in these things. We do want to provide for the intent of the policy, which was why we were brought together. So, and the intent of the policy is, whoo, software just crashed. The intent of the policy was that significantly interested parties had something to say. So I think this is sort of the compromise language, and unfortunately Becky had to head back and could not be with us. The second point, and I think Kim may be able to speak to this, and I'm not putting you on the hot seat, but this is not a binary thing. Usually in these files there are many discussions with many people about points, and it's not you punch a ticket and it's either black or white. I think that's why IANA, you know, it's some people think of it as simple, and in the overarching big things in a way it is, but the devil really is in the details and the way they interpret and talk about these things. So I think if I can channel Becky a bit, we were trying to walk the line, and if I think if anyone has done any kind of a decent job of doing some consultation and they provide that proof, then I think IANA would pass the judgment, as they do on many other points for applications, whether it be technical merit or other things.
Kim.
Just a few thoughts on the matter. I think one of the underlying concerns of everyone really involved in these processes is space saving. The benefit of the current procedures as they exist today is, you know, any deficiency we basically force back on the applicant, and it doesn't become publicly aware, and an application that is ultimately not successful is never made public. Now, that has downsides as well, but has the benefit that people that are unprepared or make deficient applications never really see the light of day. I see a benefit in the original language here that it doesn't put IANA in a position of having to make a decision about whether they're lacking, which kind of implies a judgment that rather than declaring back to the applicant for them to resolve, we're actually declaring to the public for them to resolve. So that's my initial take on it. I feel it puts us in a more delicate situation than what we currently experience. Certainly not insurmountable, but that would be my initial take from this kind of language.
How does that sit with the idea that you'll be publishing the redelegation requests upon, you know, like once they've been through a threshold of they're not frivolous, you're going to publish the request? Is that Are you expecting that because of that you will have a better quality of application, or a more thorough application, because people will want to avoid the embarrassment of being immediately accountable for their wording?
Well, I hope that will be an outcome, but I think that there's probably a qualitative difference between publishing the identity of an applicant and really not much more than that, and providing a public forum where all the critics of the applicant can put on the record their thoughts.
Nigel?
I think to some extent we're looking at the implementation detail of what the owner would do, which is fair enough to for background, but we're talking about applications at the moment, not re-delegations, really. Am I right here? So this is, let's say, a fresh application, new TLD arrives in the ISO list and so on. There's an issue, which again, I suppose, is more background and implementation than our work, but if you, by analogy to an application for a license to a government department for, let's say, to run a cell phone network or something like that, there's an element of sunshine here. There's an element of public process. You sort of say, write such and such a date, send your applications in, and if there's another group in the country or territory that wants to run it, you know, either get together or by such and such a date, get your applications in.
I'm not arguing with what you're saying. I think what we heard back from some of the concerned parties was that if they've done the work, this seems to impinge on sovereignty. Yeah, so that's why we tried to find a line that allows us to walk in between. If work has been done, and you know, then the applicant and IANA, as I was saying earlier, can have those discussions, which Kim mentioned. The previous text said IANA had to do it, period, and that was causing some heartburn.
But as I say, I think to some extent this is a matter for the IANA to look into beyond what we're writing, but. That's true.
What we're seeking to do is have a rule that's applicable to everybody, and I think the kickback was that governments felt that if they'd done their job, IANA was not in a place to argue that job. So this is trying to treat all applicants equally. Do we need the actual last words where evidence of support is lacking? Because to me, if you eliminate that and you're just sort of highlighting a process, that might just help us. So, just as an opportunity to allow IANA the discretion of when they might or might not, or how do you feel, Kim?
I mean, I think that gives us far more latitude that makes it work for us, but I can see the FOI working group of 2030 looking at this saying, well, IANA has interpreted it in the wrong way. So with any flexibility you're granting us by removing it, you're giving us flexibility that might not be agreed to.
Patricia?
Even though IANA might consider that evidence is not lacking, some dissenting parties might write to IANA on their own initiative. Does this language allow for that?
I can't see that it doesn't allow it.
And to be clear, in practice, I mean, we take all inputs into consideration that have been raised with us, whether through formal or informal channels, and if we know of any significant input, we'll raise it with the applicant to address as part of our normal procedure.
Benny?
I mean, we are talking about a fundamentally different environment, because we will be publishing the names of applicants for delegation and redelegation. I mean, up until now, you would only see it at the end of the process if it worked. So I think if you take all of that in consideration, you understand that this text sort of allows everyone to find that gray line if we want. Now, we can try, you know, there's been a suggestion of striking the last sentence. That's a possibility. That gives more flexibility to Ayanna. I think Kim has recognized that. But will it be satisfactory is the other thing. That's why the original text was crafted like that, to put it away, and I think that's the last thing, as far as we can tell, that would allow us to cement the package and send it through.
But at this stage, we might be able to take the original wording, which we have agreement on from our group, and revisit that with the GAC and see if they'll agree with that. If they don't, we could offer this as alternate wording. Is that the best plan? And does it make sense? So, okay, and just for the record, Akahis has entered the room and is a member of the working group. And Krista Spain?
Yes.
I need eyes in the back of my head. So for the record, yes, Krista Spain is in the room. Worryingly.
Chris has entered the building.
Okay, and of course we can't approve these words on the basis of one meeting anyway, so shall we hold them all in square brackets at this stage and see how our first dialogue with the GAC goes and come back to it on a call if there's a necessity to deal with it? Stephen
Herrick, American Samoa. So where did we end up on this wording at this point in time?
I think we're going to stay with the original text because we have agreement to go forward with that. If the GAC don't like it, we might propose the new text. If it is palatable to them, we'll come back to the working group to sign off on it. Does that make sense, or is that cart before the horse? Yeah.
No, we want to.
Okay, but I'm Chris. Keith, just
when you say it's palatable to them, what process are you going to use to does that just mean I've run it past Pete and they'll think it's okay, or what are we going to do to try and seek that?
Well, this particular bit I think is for Frank and Suzanne to assess the as the members of the working group to assess the palatability. It's unfortunate they're not here and the GAC are meeting today. So, okay, I think we've done this one as much as we can today, and thanks for your input. I think that's helped us clarify in our own minds. So thank you all. Can we move on to terminology paper? And was there something we needed to do there with manager?
Well, we have to do a final approval of the paper. The online approval was given, so if we can throw it up. I've distributed the version with the new text for manager, which was agreed via the working group list.
There's the text on screen. So do you want to talk us through it, Benny?
Sure. Can you make the scrollable for soon, please?
Oh, I can.
There it is. Okay. I can, so would you take us down to manager, please? There we go. Now I can also do that.
Okay.
let me enlarge it a little bit before you start reading.
Keith is doing the techie thing. Okay, here we go. 4.3.1, manager. The natural or legal person that is responsible for ensuring that the CCTLD is administered and operated as per the applicable policies and guidelines and is listed as the manager for the CCTLD in the IANA database of TLDs.
Okay.
That's the only change in the document, sir.
So we got through the first reading on this, and is there any debate or discussion? Is there any clarification needed? If not, last chance, we'll consider this approved, so that essentially approves the glossary.
Yes, sir.
And we agreed a path with the glossary that it didn't need to go to public consultation?
No.
So we now have the back-end piece to the framework approved. Well, it started as the starter. This is going to be the forward end of the camel, if you remember. So we now have a completed framework, except for those bits that we still have to resolve with the GAC. And a report section. Okay. Excellent. Well done, chaps. Martin.
Martin Boyle. Can you explain to me why you don't think we need to go out to consultation on this document?
Well, the glossary, I mean, we can, but we've, on the basis of two calls, made the decision not to.
I see, you mean go around the group rather than, because I thought you said go out to consultation on it.
We can take this document as it now stands and post it on the IGAN website for public comment and elucidate feedback and go through another round. But on the discussions on the course we've had, we decided we didn't need to do that because it was a glossary. It was purely a definition of terms. The content of those terms having been resolved in the actual chapters along the way. I think, Nigel.
There's a much easier reason than that. First of all, glossary does not contain content in the sense that we're writing an interpretation or something. But more importantly than that, the glossary is us saying, when we use this word, this is what we use it to mean. You can't have consultation out onto the community on that because the community can't tell us what we mean when we use a word. It sounds a bit Humpty Dumpty to me.
I am reluctant to want to reopen a decision that we've made.
I'm equally reluctant. I think we're in danger of spinning ourselves off into a whole new area we don't need to go into. We should concentrate on the GAC's issues and get those sorted.
But like I say, this is us saying what we mean when we use this word. It makes no sense to get somebody else to tell us what we mean when we use the word. We know what we mean.
So I don't disagree that this isn't the right course of action, but my understanding is it's not only you using this terminology to say this is what we mean, but you're also instructing IANA to start using some of this terminology. So I think it's a bit beyond that.
But that's in the rest of the documents where we say that.
That's exactly what I was about to say. That's true. But in effect, what we are doing is we are saying, when we said the word this in the main body of the document, for clarity, this is what we mean by that. And that's fine. And I genuinely don't think that. I think, you know, I have a tendency to lean always towards going out if it's necessary, but I just don't think it's necessary in this case.
I'm seeing Martin not frowning so much, so I'm assuming he's happy.
I just wanted to understand why we thought that we might get away with this and
strike that from the record.
Still,
Can I bring us back to order, Bernie?
To Martin's point, the only thing that is not a cut and paste is manager. All the rest of the terms have been defined as such in the other work.
Okay. Happy enough? Excellent. Thank you. So now we move to any other business, and we have a schedule of meetings proposed. The next meeting be the 10th of April at 1300 UTC, and then rotating on the 8-hourly change thereafter, Thursday the 24th of April, Thursday the 8th of May, Thursday the 22nd of May, Thursday the 5th of June, and then we move to ICANN London. Chris, then Martin.
I'm just curious as to what we're going to be meeting about. I have a sneaking suspicion that if we get together, we'll find something to talk about, which might be a bad thing.
My suggestion is for these dates that they be no more than 1 hour calls, and that they're diary entries, and that my hope is that we need no more than one or two of them, but if we have them in our diaries, and there are further issues with the GAC that we need to work through, or anything to do with the IANA implementation, that we do have them there. But I'm certainly on the way forward that we're not, that we are struggling to get a group together because it's not in a diary. So I'm not going to have any calls. There's plenty of distraction on some other stuff that's quite important, so we're not going to waste time having calls for the sake of it. Martin.
Just to note that Thursday the 24th is NetMundial Day 2, and as I believe you're going to be there, you're not. Oh, right, okay. In that case, you might want to leave it, but I would flag that it will be a problem for some people.
I tried desperately to delete that one because it will be ANZAC Day in Australia and New Zealand, and I won't be in Finland or Brazil.
Why don't you just delete it? You're not going to get those of us who are in Brazil are going to really struggle.
Bernie insisted, that's why.
Okay, have you tried deleting Bernie?
Excellent. Let's delete the 24th by consensus. Sorry, Bernie. Okay, with that modified schedule, deleting the meeting of the 24th of April. I think that gives us plenty of time should we need it along the way. So is there any other business from anyone in the room? Anyone at the back of the room? I can't see. Okay, with that, I'll declare the meeting closed. Thanks for your participation, and we'll talk to you again on the 10th of April at latest.